This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My brothers in Islam, part of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you surrender to the will of Allah azza wa jal. You surrender to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed upon you, in particular when it's out of your hands. In many cases, we do bring problems to ourselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that in the Quran al-Kareem. Bima kasabat aydikum. This is a problem that you brought upon yourself. When you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with that sin and that disobedience comes with it problems, that's because of you. You brought it upon yourself. When you commit the haram, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to keep away from the haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell you to keep away from the haram because Allah wants just to keep away from the haram. Because the haram brings harm upon you. So you go and commit what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you not to commit. And you go and sin and indulge yourself in the haram, and then you find repercussions. Then you start finding consequences that come out of the haram. Blame no one but yourself. That's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَلَا تَلُمَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسًا. Only blame yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbidden the haram. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered that we keep away from the sin. Not because there's any benefit against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not benefit from your worship, nor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets harmed from your sin. Allah doesn't need your worship, and Allah doesn't get harmed from your sins. When you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you benefit yourself. When you sin, you harm yourself. When you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you benefit yourself, you bring benefit to yourself in this world and the hereafter. You bring success and happiness to yourself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world and the hereafter. When you sin, you bring harm upon yourself in this world and the hellfire and the hereafter. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with tests that's not in my hands or your hands. It's not because of you. It's part of the process that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts together. It's part of the process that Allah azza wa jal had decreed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Allah says, we will test you. We will test you. We'll put you through trials and tests, through fear, hunger, through yourself, through your families, through your wealth, through what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you. Yes, it's part of the process that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. It's not in your hands, it's not in my hands. So sometimes you bring problems upon yourself, in particular when you disobey Allah azza wa jal. And sometimes problems come, not because of you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it this way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed it to be that way. Not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like you. There is no one more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him more than anyone else. Allah tested him more than anyone else. Tested him in what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him with his own children. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his boys. He had four girls and three boys, three sons. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his three boys before they even had reached the age of puberty. Test. And you know what? It's not like the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost them in a way where this one got ill and this one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him, we're not going to allow your kids to grow older than the age of puberty. Do you think that's an easy test? No, it's not an easy test. Allah informed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none of your kids are going to reach the age of puberty. Test. Test, test. Someone said that the Arabs were making mockery of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. They were saying, look, Muhammad doesn't even have a progeny, doesn't even have an offspring. Because Arabs have that mentality that it's your sons, it's your boys, it's the male children that will carry you with your legacy. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had two boys, Al-Qasim and Abdullah. They were dead before the age of puberty. Test! Is that something the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted? No one wants that. But at the end of the day, you accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree upon you. Then later on was Ibrahim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him away. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at that age where he was longing for a child, only experienced Ibrahim for 18 months, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him. Test! Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the man is a liar, then listen to him. This man is a liar, then listen to him. That's a test. His men tried down against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's a test. Also, it's a big test when you get insulted, when someone swears at you in your face. No one likes to be insulted, no one likes to be told, or no one likes to be insulted or mentioned, or something been mentioned against them. You know, besides that, how many times he was insulted? How many times people go and say, this man is a liar, this man is a magician, he's a fortune teller, he can't spell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not you, not me. If someone says something about us, oh, these people, you know, they never say the truth. Oh, these people, this and that. Yeah, it hurts you, we're human beings at the end of the day. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through his integrity. When people accused the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of lying, not only lying on the creation of Allah, lying on the creator of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's test. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tested with his own wives. His own wives, yes? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 9 wives at one given time, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tested amongst them. Many stories. It's not only you that you have problems with your wife. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had problems. Yeah, maybe not to the level that we have then, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was tested. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tested with his food. Which day has passed your life? Tell me a moment that you lived in your life and you didn't eat for 24 hours. Tell me once. When did you ever encounter a day that you did not eat? When did you encounter a night that you did not eat in it? When did you encounter 24 hours of your life that you didn't eat? Where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, days and nights will go by, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't even taste anything. Just water. Isn't that a test? And then you get in the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's got absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Test. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, but Allah tested him. Some would say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him with his own companions. As a leader, there's nothing more valuable to you than the people around you. The loyalty of the people around you. The commitment and the dedication of the people around you. Yes, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had committed companions and dedicated companions. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. But at the same time, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had weak companions. Weak companions, yes? Weak companions. They believed in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they did wrong things. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam marched out of Medina to Mecca, one of the companions who believed in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and informed the people of Quraysh what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was planning to do. Do you think that's easy for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to swallow? On the top of all this, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had munafiqeen. Munafiqeen, munafiqeen. You know, these days when you say the word munafiq, we as Muslims, especially Arabs, when we say the word munafiq, we refer to someone who's a two-face. We refer to someone who's a two-face. This person says something but does something else. Munafiq in the Sharia, someone is a kafir. Full-on kafir. Full-fledged kafir. Hates Islam and hates the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hates the Quran, but shows Islam from the outside. That's a munafiq. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have two-faced people. We have two-faced people. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had munafiqeen. People in his gatherings who hated the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who planned and plotted against the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, who worked against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but showed the face of Islam to him. That's not a test. That's a big test. That's a huge test. People tell me sometimes, I don't want to come to the masjid because this boy, he's a two-faced and that boy is a two-faced. What would you do if you're around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and there were munafiqeen surrounding the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam? Sitting right next to you. You look towards your right, Abu Bakr and Umar. Towards your left, Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salud. 100% kafir working against Islam. You think that's easy to swallow? I don't want to go to the masjid because there's a guy, he's a two-faced. We call him munafiq. But you know, he's a Muslim. He's just a vile person. Evil person. But you know, deep inside, he's a Muslim. He's just got bad actions. He says something, does something else. He's got a long beard, but he does something wrong. But you know, at the end of the day, he's a Muslim. He's just a bad Muslim. And you don't want to get to the masjid because of a bad Muslim. What would you do during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in the gathering of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in the salah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you look towards your right, you've got great companions, that Allah prays, you look towards your left and you've got munafiqeen. Not only that you won't even come to the masjid, you'll leave Islam entirely. to your face. That's a test. My brother and his love, that's a big test. It's not a small test. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tested. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are going to test you. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes the statement and says, the closer you become to Allah, the more you are tested by Allah azza wa jal. And the most tested people by Allah are the prophets and the messengers. And I am the most tested servant of Allah wa Allah. That's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us in different ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us through different means. Sometimes because of your fault, because of your evil action, because of the sin that you had committed, because of the haram that you had fell in. Yes, that's because of you. And that's a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a wake-up call. It could be a punishment, or it could be a wake-up call. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you because of the sin that you had committed, because Allah wants to punish you for it. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says in the hadith that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish his servant for the sin that he had committed before the hereafter. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends it to you as a wake-up call. Wake up to yourself. Look what I'm going to do to you. A small penalty, a small punishment in this world before the big punishment in the hereafter. Wake up to yourself. Subhanallah, some people sin and then they'll wake up out of this sin. Some people. And some people, they sin and they just continue drowning in their sin. But there are tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us through. Not in your hand, not in my hand. No one's hand. And in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to be. Maybe because of someone, and you are the victim of it. Maybe because of someone else's hands. Maybe because of the corruption of someone else. Maybe because of the wrongdoing of someone else. Maybe because of the mistake of someone else. Maybe because of unintentional action of someone else. But subhanAllah, the rest of mankind or the rest of people pay the price. Like what we're experiencing these days, this pandemic of coronavirus. What everyone is talking about. Coming from the UMA, 10 minutes, about 50 phone calls. Sheikh, should I get to the Salatul Jama'ah or not? You know what? Yes, we laugh about it. I have a smile on my face. But you know, people have the right to ask that question. What do you do? Is there anything concrete in the Sharia that talks about it? SubhanAllah, our deen does talk about it. How beautiful is Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Islam so comprehensive in everything. In everything. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not depart this world until everything was comprehensive. Until everything was complete. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa akmaltu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum islama deena. Today I had completed my religion upon you. Allah had completed Islam. Including the questions that people ask this day and age. Especially these days. What do you do when there's a pandemic? What do you do when there's a disease that's been widespread? Which it is. Yes, you won't say to me it's blown out of proportion, it's over exaggerated. You know what? Say whatever you want to say. I won't agree or disagree, but the reality is it does exist. You might tell me it's a conspiracy and it was in a setup and it was staged. Whatever it is, that's not my topic. My topic is what the Sharia talks about when there's a pandemic. When there is a disease that's widely spread and people are being affected by it. And it is. Is it the worst disease that we had ever encountered this day and age? No, it isn't. But the way it's looking, and again, I'm going to talk from a Sharia perspective, I'm not a doctor here. From the way it's looking, it's getting worse. And the statements by the professionals and the expertise, the worst is yet to come. So what's my Islamic position on this? I speak today as an individual, but inshallah, next few days you're going to find and you're going to see a collective opinion from the Australian National Imams Council that brings together 200 mashayikh and imams across the country. But alhamdulillah, before the Australian National Imams Council produces anything or issues anything, there's already statements from the scholars all around the world. And you could sense a consensus, an agreement amongst the scholars from all around the world. And keep in mind, as bad as it is here in Australia, we are still in the best state. Compare Australia to other countries, Australia is still in heaven. But yeah, the worst to come. Yeah, the worst to come. We're fortunate, alhamdulillah. And we feel sorry for everyone else, regardless of who those people are. But it is a pandemic. And the World Health Organization had already issued a statement saying that this is one of the worst that we've ever encountered in the last 10 years. Maybe the wisdom of last century, Allahu A'lam. But what I'm going to be talking about, what the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned. And I'll focus on three things. Number one is what the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith. A famous hadith where the Prophet Alaihi Wasallam says, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. That's the first hadith. لا ضرر ولا ضرار. Then bring harm upon yourself, and then bring harm upon other people. You as a Muslim, you are responsible not to bring harm upon yourself, nor that you affect other people with harm. At least if you want to bring harm to yourself and that's wrong, don't pass on it to other people. And that harm could be anything. Could be anything. Could be something physical, could be something mental, could be financial, whatever it is. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given us a general ruling, do not bring harm upon yourself and then bring harm upon other people. Don't bring harm upon yourself, because you are responsible for your life, including the safety and the well-being of your life. That includes your body. That's what the Sharia talks about. We are responsible to taking care of five things in our lives. And the number one thing that I'm responsible to take care of is my deen. Then my soul. That includes my physical body. My body, I'm responsible for taking care of it. I can't go and cast myself and throw myself into something that's harmful. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Don't go and cast yourself into distraction. Don't go and cast yourself into harm. You need to protect yourself. And if you are one of those people who's carrying this virus, then you are responsible in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. And you have this responsibility of you not passing on this virus to other people. You are responsible. That also includes you not attending congregations, not attending Salatul Jum'ah, not attending the 5 daily prayers. That's how he said, Qadar Allah. Yes, Qadar Allah. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the other hadith, if there is a plague in any town, then leave it and then allow anyone to go in it. The self-isolation that we're talking about, that's Islam. Islam had spoken about it 1,400 years ago. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the same hadith, in the correct hadith, authentic hadith, if there is a plague in a town, the people of that town should not live, nor they allow people coming into that town. Why? Because it's going to be contagious. It's going to spread. That's the teaching of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And during the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a plague took place in Bilad al-Sham. Took place in Palestine. So Umar ibn Khattab prevented anyone from leaving. And he is the Khalifa. So they said, but this is Qadrullah. This is the decree and the will of Allah. He said, yes, we are running from the decree of Allah to the decree of Allah. We are running away from the decree of Allah to where? To the decree of Allah. This is from Allah, and we're going to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. So this self-isolation, and right now the expertise and the professionals and the doctors, whoever they are, that are saying that you need to self-isolate for 14 days, you go with that. Yes, you go with that. Yes, you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when you depend on Allah, you have to also depend on the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created. You depend on the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had established for you. You can't say, I depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my income and stay at home. It doesn't work that way. That's disrespectful on Allah azza wa jal. And that's not depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's laziness. You depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by knowing and acknowledging that everything happens from Allah azza wa jal. At the same time, you take by the means. Otherwise, what would the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come out of Medina and fight against his enemies? He just depends on Allah, not giving victory. But no, you have to go and fight. And you have to shed blood. And you have to sacrifice. And you have to strive. And you have to, and you have to, and you have to, and you have to, and you have to. That's how it works in the deen. The concept of depending on Allah is the first and foremost that we depend on Allah Azza wa Jal. Then we take by the means. We take by the means. The other thing is that people are talking about going to congregations, going to the Salah. And obviously, people were expecting, for example, the Australian National Imams Council to issue something. We're waiting to see things. We don't want to jump something. We don't want to jump on something until we see something 100%. And the way it's looking, yes, it's just getting worse, unfortunately. But we need to be patient. This is a test. This is a test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test us. So be patient. Don't go and fight over toilet paper. It's not the end of the world. Okay? Be patient. This is the time that you show the true character of Islam and your belief. When you're patient, not selfish, subhanAllah. A bit of shake up and see how people start acting. Is that the reaction of people? Willing to kill each other over toilet paper? Allah, what? SubhanAllah, where's your character as a Muslim? Where's your character as a believer? Yeah, alhamdulillah, I haven't heard of any Muslim doing this. we love, then I remember one story, one companion in one of the expeditions, he was dying for water. So another companion came to give him water. By the moment he was about to drink the water, heard another companion call for water. He said, "No, get to my brother, he needs more than me." And this man is about to die. So he went to the second one, water, water, water. He was about to give him water, a sip of water. Heard another companion call for water. So he went to the third one, because the second one said, "Get to him, he probably needs it. He probably needs it more than me." So he went to the third one, by the time I arrived to him, he was dead. He went to the first one, he was dead. He came to the second one, he was dead. They sacrificed their lives for one another. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. They are willing to give up what they need most for one another. That's what Islam is about. Not to be selfish and it's all about me, and you know what, I just have to preserve myself and protect myself. No, it's about us. That's what we learn from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And part of that, if you know that we are one of those people who's carrying this virus, Islamically you should not attend any congregation. Don't say, "I want to go and fulfill the obligation of Salatul Jum'ah." No. You stay at home. This is your Islamic ruling. You stay at home. You don't come here and spread this virus to other people and say, "Alhamdulillah, I fulfilled Salatul Jum'ah," and you affected another 100 people. What are you going to face Allah Azza wa Jalla with one Jum'ah against what 100 other people suffered because of you? It doesn't work that way. This is exactly what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to as bankruptcy. Where someone comes with a lot of salah, a lot of siyam, a lot of donations, a lot of good deeds, but insulted this person, offended that person, and harmed this person, injured that person. All these hasanat will be taken away from you, given to those people that you had made suffer. Don't be a bankrupt person. So Islamically, if you feel that you are one of those people who's carrying this, then you shouldn't attend any congregation. And if you know there's a congregation, or all congregations might have someone in it, then you shouldn't attend. You need to preserve your life. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the one that eats garlic and onion. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about someone who ate garlic and onion? What harm does garlic and onion bring? Just a smell, an odor. It's not going to knock you down. It's not going to knock you out. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to destroy you. It's just an odor. It's just a disgusting smell that, subhanAllah, it disrupts your salah. It distracts you from the salah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever eats garlic or onion should not come to our gatherings. Subhanallah. Garlic and onion. Not coronavirus. Garlic and onion. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't come to our gatherings. Why? Because it's harm. What harm? Minimal harm. A smell. A smell harm. What would the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about those that carry such a virus? And I'm supposed to say, stay at home. Don't you ever come to our gatherings. Don't say, inshallah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, I'm a shaheed, inshallah, and I bring all my brothers and my sisters to be shuhada with me. They're going to be shuhada, and Allah knows where you're going to end up. This is the Islamic teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are running away from the will of Allah azza wa jalla to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From qadr Allah to qadr Allah. This is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, it takes test. It's not something that you've asked for. It's not something that I've asked for. But it's a matter that we need to deal with. And we deal with it Islamically. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will please. Not to please myself. And these are the times that people get shaken up. When do you really know someone? When they are shaken up. You are generous when you've got money. I want to say how generous you are when you don't have money. You are good to me when you're happy. I want to say how good you are to me when you're unhappy. The true colors of people come out during the predicaments, during the trials. And my true color is the color of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The color of Islam. That's my color. I don't have any other color. My color is Islam. My character is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my brothers in Islam, these are the times that I remind ourselves that yes, we are facing and we are encountering tough times, hard times. We need to deal with them Islamically to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not myself, not my self-interest, not what pleases me, but pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At least I want to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stand before Allah azza wa jal, him pleased from me, not pleasing myself. Ikhwana, I know a lot of people are waiting for a position or a statement from the Australian National Imams Council. Inshallah, expect something in the next few days. We're just waiting to see how things eventuate. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy upon us all. And if the fatwa is going to be to avoid Salatul Jum'ah because of the spread of this virus, then that's going to be the fatwa. That's going to be the fatwa. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba when it was raining what? Not to come to the masjid. Why? Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't want mud and rain to come on him. Not virus. Mud and rain. Yes, it's inconvenient to have mother rain on you, but it's not harmful. It's not harmful. Few weeks ago when it was raining, our kids were on the street, jumping up and down as if they've never seen rain in their life. It's not harmful. It's just inconvenient. What would the Prophet Muhammad say when there's a virus going around and killing other people? You might tell me, yes, the percentage of people, this and that. I'm not debating this. I'm just talking about things in general. What would the Prophet Muhammad say when the Prophet told people to pray at home because of rain? What would the Prophet Muhammad say when there's a spread of virus? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to contain it for us and to make it easy for us. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give and grant recovery to everyone that's been affected by that. And we ask Allah to give us an understanding and a lesson out of this, for us to know how weak we are. We are weak servants of Allah. One little virus will destroy you. Who are you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who are you from Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Lord of the universe? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending messages. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending lessons for us. One little virus can destroy you. Whether it's coronavirus or another virus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way He made you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get rid of you. So fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't you ever have pride upon Allah azza wa jalla. How many people out there don't even pray when Allah tells them pray? Don't fast when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to fast. They commit the haram and they ain't commit the haram. And now because of a little virus, people are running and people are panicking. You should be afraid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should be concerned about your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla. And I'm not belittling. I'm not downplaying this issue. But I'm saying something for us to learn from. That at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that runs the affairs of mankind. You and me and everything around us is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever He wants. However He wants. Whatever He wants. And no one can object. It's the world of Allah. The affairs of this world are in the hands of Allah. We are only servants of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us through these moments and times to see our reaction. What do you do? What's your reaction? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who listen and hear and act upon and listen here. Yeah? I wanna be in Jannah. Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah. Pious person's destiny. Inshallah, Jannah.